live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Glenn Jones.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now, you might remember I was chatting to Kerry Bullum recently. She and her mate, Troy Baxter, are aiming to set a world record for running the London Marathon handcuffed.
We both got ballot places for the London Marathon this year, which is, we just couldn't believe. It's just, you know, unheard of. And we've both done it before, so we just fancy doing something a bit different. And we run together probably 6 days a week, and everybody jokes about us being attached at the hip all the time. So she just started doing a bit of research and came up with this because there's no record for females running a marathon handcuffed.
Have you been training in the handcuffs?
We have. We've just been doing all our long runs. I live in Burwell, so we've been doing a lot of runs around the fence. So we do come across people and they give us quite odd looks. But because also we need to do it somewhere where the pavements are quite wide, because obviously we take up quite a lot of room as well when we're running together. So yes, we have been wearing them. And we did a half marathon in London because we wanted to see how we coped with crowds. And it was fine. You know, we needed big, you know, we wanted to overtake people. You're looking for big gaps all the time. So that was a bit tricky, but we got round.
They're raising money for the local charity Tom's Trust. You can read more about them and how to support them at tomstrust.org.uk. But it set me thinking, I don't actually know a lot about Tom's Trust, who they are, what they do, and they've recently apparently marked their 10th anniversary, so I thought it might be a good chance to put that right. Deborah Whiteley's a co-founder of Tom's Trust. Afternoon, Deborah.
Afternoon.
So tell me, who are Tom's Trust?
Well, Tom's Trust is a charity set up in memory of Tom, who was our son, and he died in 2010, aged just 9 of a brain tumour. After a short 7-month battle, we lost him. And so we decided to set up the charity in his name and to make some really good, positive changes and provide psychology for children with brain tumours from the point of diagnosis.
So that's your aim then. Tell me a little bit about how you go about doing that.
Well, there's lots of ways we do. It's actually raising awareness is one of them. Obviously, Kerry and her crazy challenge of running the London Marathon handcuffed. Lots of people raise money for us. And we fund 3 psychologists here in Cambridge who look after all of the children diagnosed in the east of England. And very importantly as well, actually, their families. They support their families too, which includes mum, dad and any siblings.
I'd imagine that's particularly important for someone who's been through what you've gone through. Do you mind me asking you to tell me a little about Tom? What was he like? Who was Tom?
Oh, Tom was amazing. I mean, we all say that about our children, don't we? But, you know, we saw him in the hardest of situations, and he was always upbeat, and he loved his music. He spent a lot of time in hospital, obviously. And yeah, we miss him. He was very stubborn. You know, when he was decided to do something, he was definitely going to do it. And achieve it, and he hated being last. You know, he was always at the front. I remember cycling with him, and he never ever wanted to be at the back. And he had a really good sense of humour. And really importantly, actually, the thing I remember most about Tom is that he was very kind. When we lost him, some of the parents, obviously, we had lots of messages from people. And there were stories that we didn't know about him just being really kind to people and looking after them. And so what a wonderful little boy he was. And we do really miss him.
It's something I can't even imagine going through. What was it like, both for you as a parent and for Tom himself when he got the diagnosis?
I think it's really hard to put that in words, actually. It's very traumatic, which is why, as a parent, I just knew that there had to be changes, because when you receive that diagnosis, you can't really believe it, and it's really hard to process that, actually, that is what's happening to your child. And I remember seeing sort of, you know, document that, and they give you sort of leaflets and information and whatever, and something had cancer on it, and you just don't believe that that's your world, that is anything to do with you. So the trauma is huge, actually. And obviously children like Tom are in and out of hospital. They're in hospital for long periods of time, and they have lots and lots of operations as well. And, you know, having one operation is a hugely stressful thing, but trying to get your child back to hospital to do that again is very, very stressful. So it's really important that children like Tom and families like ours are really supported in a way that we weren't actually, which is why we set out to do what we want to do. And we've got to make those changes.
How did you set off on the journey to Tom's Trust?
Well, we knew we wanted to do something in Tom's name, you know, to have a legacy that's a positive memory of Tom, you know, something that was positive, that was changing in his name because we'd lost him. And so we went to set up a charity. We knew that it was psychology that we wanted to change, that there was some psychological support, but very little. And we both knew as parents that the little bit of support that we got needed to be an awful lot more, and it needed to be there for us and our children. And actually it's sometimes there for the wider family. So we knew what we wanted to do and what we wanted to change. And then we registered Tom's Trust, and off we went. And we met a consultant at Adam Brooks, who told us, you know, that for the first 3 years, a psychologist would cost £215,000. And we just thought, oh, how are we going to do that? How on earth are we going to raise that money? Mm. And community, you know, is an amazing thing. And it got behind us and it sort of propelled us, really. You know, it was friends and family and people like that who just, you know, kept us going and, you know, kept us motivated and focused to raise the first £215,000 so that the first Tom's Trust psychologist was in place in Adam Brooks, I think, in 2012. And so, you know, so that was the start, really, of making the changes that we're out there making today.
What's been the reaction from the medical profession? Were they surprised that you'd found the support so lacking when you had had such bad news?
No, I think, and actually through COVID, you know, we've all started to recognise, and probably before as well, about mental health and how important it is. And it's always been the sort of the poor relative to physical health, actually. And so, you know, a lot of people in the medical profession have understood that. But the problem is there aren't the funds to actually make the changes that are necessary to make it equal, because it's really important, your mental health, and it's as important as your physical health, as we now all know because of lockdown. And lockdown was a representation of what a lot of our children go through already, and we're going through already. You know, they're very isolated from their peer groups and from their schools, and in some cases from their families. So you know, we now fortunately are all starting to understand how important mental health is. So yeah, so the reception was very good, because they do understand that it is the poor relative to physical health.
So you managed to get that first psychologist around 10 years ago. How have you grown over the years?
We have. And we now have three psychologists in the east of England, looking after all children diagnosed and their families. And we've expanded to the northeast as well. And we're looking at other centres too, because it's not recognised. It needs to change. And we have to provide psychology for this group of children, simply because the site of the tumour means that they need more psychological intervention perhaps than other children with other types of cancer. And actually, if I had my way, I'd want to do it for all families who have the devastating cancer diagnosis of their child. But because of brain tumours obviously being in your brain, you know, the child is getting used to their new normal. Children are mostly very changed, and the family needs to get used to their new normal too. And they're usually physically changed or, you know, or cognitively, so that their learning abilities aren't quite the same, or both. And so there's a huge spectrum of change that happens to the child, and the family needs to get used to that too. So it's really important that we make this change in the UK, and we will do it. Yeah.
I mean, I hadn't even thought about that. This is actually in your brain. It's affecting the way you're thinking.
Yeah, it can, you know, it can affect your personality, your moods, your physical ability. When Tom had his brain tumour removed, he lost you know, all his fine motor skills. He had to learn to write again. He had to learn to walk again. And actually, he never ran again because he didn't have the core strength. Your brain is, you know, is in charge of everything pretty much. So, you know, and as I said, the spectrum's huge for all the children. So it's very varied. But that was our experience with Tom. And obviously, in the journey as running the charity, I now know lots of families and their journeys are very different, and they're all very, very, very tough. Mm. And the children are incredibly brave and the families are amazing and they need as much support as we can give them, and they need that support from day one. You were asking me about that day, and it's a really devastating day. And we need to handhold from that day going forward through all the treatment and helping these children back to their schools. And brain tumours are the biggest cancer killer of children under 16. And so we do help families who lose their children. Our psychologists will signpost them to make sure that they receive the bereavement support that is necessary.
That's such an important thing you mentioned there, because it doesn't end when the child sadly passes away. The parents are still there and the parents have got to pick up the pieces of their lives.
Yeah, and living without your child isn't something you will ever get used to. That is your life changed forever, and you will every day be looking around knowing that your child isn't there. I know that because I live with that every day. And, you know, it is the most devastating thing that a parent can go through. You know, we're very lucky. We have two beautiful girls, and you know, we love them even harder than we ever thought was possible, because we have to live without Tom. So you know, it's very, very tough, and those families need support, and the siblings need support to learn how to live without their brother or their sister, and to come to terms with that loss in whichever way they can. But there is no going through it or getting over it. It's my experience is learning to live with it. Mm. And it's a very painful thing to live with.
I've got to say, I really admire you for talking about something like this. It's not something that I think I could personally do, and I really do appreciate it. Let's move on to something a bit more positive about Tom's Trust. What are you proudest of over the 10 years you've been in existence?
I think all the families that we've helped, all the hundreds and hundreds of children that we've supported, and the sort of untold family members that we've managed to support. We get a lot of feedback directly from those families. And those are the messages that I find the most beautiful to read, because I know as a parent what my journey was like, and I know how different it could have been with the right support. And I think that's what I'm the most proud of, is the children that we've managed to support and the families. And I tell you, I really am so passionate about knowing how many more children. I think there's 500 diagnosed each year with a brain tumour in the UK. And the difference between having that and other cancers is that with brain tumours, it's ongoing, possibly forever, you know, the sort of support that these children will need. So that's what I'm most proud of.
And the way you've described Tom as this loving lad, this lad who couldn't do enough to help other people, all these stories you heard after his death, I'd imagine that's such an amazing legacy. I'd imagine he's looking down on this thinking, well, he must be so proud of what you've achieved.
Yeah, and you know, it's difficult, isn't it, when you're English and you're bereaved and we're not very good at it. And it holds Tom's name up high, and we talk about him every day, and it gives us the platform to do that. That's not the reason, the main reason. I wanted to help families, but I also wanted to create a legacy that was positive, a positive memory for Tom. And it has become, and I'd never really thought of it like this until we sort of started doing it. It's become an amazing platform to share pictures of Tom and to talk about his life and to, you know, to keep talking about Tom, which is just the most amazing thing we can do, really, keeping his memory alive.
Absolutely. Looking ahead, what do you think the next 10 years hold for Tom's Trust?
Ooh. Well, it's really interesting, actually, because I feel like the last 10 years have just been the beginning, and this is the beginning now. So starting a charity is a really, really tough thing to do. And you know, just building it from nothing is really hard. And I just feel like the next 10 years will be the most exciting because we're looking at the next 2 to 3 centres in the UK. So yeah, watch this space. And I hope we get to help just hundreds of more children and hundreds of more families. We plan to, so we've just got to fundraise to do that. And, you know, and as soon as we can fundraise and as soon as we've got the funds to do it, we've got the plan in place to be able to go out and support these families and these children.
Well, it's going to be amazing watching Tom's Trust grow, and I hope you'll stay in touch with us, let us know how it's all going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How can people help you out at Tom's Trust? Right in the here and now.
In the here and now, just go to our website. You mentioned it before, but www.tomstrust.org.uk. There's various challenges going on at the moment. We've got 100 runners in the Cambridge Half Marathon coming up. I'm going to run it. I am not a runner, but I'll get round eventually. You know, we've got Kerry Bullen doing her London Marathon Handcuff, which is a real nod, actually, to some of the disabilities that our children do end up with. And doing that challenge is incredible. Or you can just donate, or you can volunteer for us, which we're always looking for volunteers, or you can go out and fundraise yourself. Or if you're a company or a corporate and you want to support us, please just get in touch. We've got so many changes that we can make with everybody's support. So we need you. So please just get in touch with us.
That's a really interesting point you make, because so often you hear people, they need the money, and of course Tom's Trust need the money, and there will be plenty of people who are in a position to do that. But even if you haven't got the money to spare, you take volunteers, you say.
Absolutely. Or just talk about our work, you know, raise awareness of it, because, you know, for every person you speak to, they might speak to 2 more people, and you just don't know. So, yeah, we absolutely love our volunteers. Honestly, we have some office space volunteers. We need volunteers at events. We always need help. So if you have a specific skill set and you want to get in touch with us and offer some time, you know, time is donating and time is changing lives, giving time. So, you know, so that's always, always important for us, because I know that it's really hard for people. People can't donate and they want to help. So there's so many other ways of giving.
It's really good that there's something that everyone can do to help Tom's Trust and Tom's memory flourish. Just remind us one more time where people need to go to find out about donations, find out about the latest projects and to donate their time.
It's to www.tomstrust.org.uk.
Deborah Whiteley, co-founder of Tom's Trust, thank you very much indeed for joining us this afternoon.
An absolute pleasure.
We're live and local.
Cambridge 105 Radio.